Our mess, God's masterpiece. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph. I love Joseph in the Old Testament, don't you? He's probably my favorite Bible character other than Jesus. Because Jesus has got to be number one. But I think Joseph is such a wonderful thing. But you know, his life was not rosy. A lot of times we, as Christians, we think that life ought to be rosy all the time. But his wasn't rosy, but listen, he overcame a lot. And I think that's kind of where we're at sometimes in our lives. Because, we look at people like Joseph and Paul and all of these people in the Bible. Or you look at somebody in life that you look up to and looks like they got their life together and everything. And you look at your life and here you're dealing with this mess. You got all this stuff going on in your life, and it's a mess. But Joseph, we get to see his mess, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. The life of this story begins when Joseph is 17 years old. But I want to step back a generation, and I want to talk a little bit about his daddy. His father was Jacob. The word Jacob means supplanter. Jacob was a schemer. He was almost a scam artist. You ever been around somebody that's a scam artist? He cheated his brother out of his inheritance. He was always looking for an angle for something. He was a rascal. From his young age, he was always scheming about something. Then he had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord changed his heart and changed his name. Anybody know what they changed his name to? Israel. He was Jacob, but he became Israel. And he got scammed one time because he worked 7 years to marry a girl by the name of Rachel. But daddy-in-law snuck in the sister. Some people say the ugly sister. They said she was weak-eyed. Yeah, she was weak-eyed. I don't mean that she's hard on the eyes or whatever it was, but he snuck in. So he marries and goes to the honeymoon, and evidently the lights were out. But when he woke up the next morning, he was with the wrong woman. So he married her. He slept with her. She's yours. Okay? Slept with her. She's yours. You're married. So he married the other one too. But there was always a jealousy between the sisters. They were sisters. And there was a jealousy. They would fight over who got to sleep with him. One of them was barren and the other one was fruitful. And she was jealous. And what she did is she gave her handmaid to her husband to have seed by her. The other one went barren, and so she gave him her handmaid. So, I mean, he was a busy dude. And, you know, altogether, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But they had 12 kids, 12 boys, and these became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. But there was a lot of stuff going on in that family. It was not your ideal Leave It to Beaver family. There was jealousy. There was backbiting. It goes back generations. Even Sarah was involved in some of that. And so there was some seed sown in that family that you would call it today a dysfunctional family. Has anybody ever been around it? Maybe you were raised in a dysfunctional family. So what we see about Joseph is that he comes out of dysfunction. He didn't come out of the Leave It to Beaver family. You know, the nice little mom and the dad that's always got the answers and the kids that always do the right thing. His was a mess. His was a mess. In fact, and that's one of the things that we need to see about Joseph, we're going to see that he winds up really God working his masterpiece in his life, but he didn't start out in such a great situation. We say it all the time here. We don't care where you've been, what you've done, What matters is where you're going. And that's what we're interested in, is where you're going. And we want you to be going in the right way. So Joseph could either have allowed this dysfunction to shape his life. He could have been a victim, but instead he turns out a victor. And it had to do with his faith in the Lord. It had to do with his walk with God. And but he could have been a victim. He could have played the victim card. Have you ever been around people that's always the victim? Well, you know, my mama this, or my daddy that, or somebody in my family has done this to me, and I'm this, and the reason I'm this way is because of the way that I was raised. But listen, we can all make choices in life. We can all make choices to life. Sure, many people have been dealt a crummy hand. I started to say crappy, but you're not supposed to say that in church. So I didn't say, I said crummy. You were dealt a crummy hand in life. And you can either play that crummy hand or you can choose to be different. And I know people that have been dealt, they come from a broken home. Maybe multiple marriages in a home, and they have been the victim of that and needing a role model, and they didn't have a role model. See, that's the reason that God hates divorce. God hates, can I say this again? God hates divorce. And the reason that he hates it is because it does such damage in people. You know, little boys and little girls need a role model. Little girls need a daddy image. Little boys need a mama image. And boys need a daddy. I mean, we need two parents in a home. But many times that's not happening. And it causes certain things to happen in kids' lives. But listen, they don't have to live that way. They don't have to repeat that. It can be different with them than the way that they were raised. You are not limited by your upbringing. I said you're not limited by your upbringing. And your upbringing may be a mess, but listen, God can turn it around and make it a masterpiece. And that, we're going to see that with Joseph today, that his life was a mess. And it turns out to be a masterpiece. Joseph was not completely innocent in all of this. Because there was a hatred that his brothers had for him. One reason is because his father tagged Joseph as his favorite son. So this family had a lot of favoritism in it. So that breeds contempt. That breeds jealousy when there's a favorite child in the mix. And his brothers had a hatred for him. But Joseph didn't always help that, because there are times that Joseph was the tattletale. The brothers would be out working the flocks, and Joseph would go out and spy on them and bring the report back to Dad. That didn't endear him to his brothers either. So Joseph was not without fault in all of this. And God began to give him dreams. God gave him dreams about the future. God painted a picture to him in dreams of what was going to happen in the future. But you know, Joseph probably said some things and blabbed some things and shared some things that he probably should have kept to himself. And it caused his brothers to hate him more. It didn't bring healing. It brought more distance in that family. So we see, first of all, that Joseph was raised in a dysfunctional home. And because of his immaturity, he did some things that weren't wise. How many of us have done things in our past that weren't wise? Anybody? Can I get a witness? And does that limit us? It don't have to. It can, but it don't have to. It can, and many times it does, but it does not have to limit us. They hated him so much that they went out one time to take care of the flock, and they threw him in a pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites as a slave. So another thing that he experienced was family rejection. Maybe you're here today and you have experienced family rejection. Maybe you're alienated from your parents, or maybe you're alienated from a sibling because of certain things that have happened. But Joseph he experienced family rejection. His 11 brothers sold him into to slavery. You know, how many of you know that family rejection hurts? It hurts. It's painful. But listen, again, it doesn't have to define who we are. It doesn't have to define who we are. So Joseph is sold into slavery, and they take him to Egypt, and a man by the name of Potiphar buys him. He's a slave. He buys him. Now, Potiphar is the captain of the king's guard. He's captain of the king's guard. And he brings him into his house, and God favors. Well, in fact, let me just read a little bit of it here. Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master in the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph could have been bitter about all of this that's happened to him. He could have hated his brothers. And I'm sure he had to deal with the temptation to hate. We're all tempted sometimes. You know, when somebody hurts your feelings, it takes a while to get over it, doesn't it? I mean, got your feelings hurt, or somebody did something wrong to you and you've laid in bed at night thinking about what you'd like to do? I wonder why you're giggling. You hadn't done that, have you? I bet you have. But you know what? He didn't act on any of it. He wasn't in a position to act on it at this point. But you know what? He was faithful to God in this. And God brought favor on him. And God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph and his faithfulness to God. See, listen to this. Joseph was not in control of his circumstances at this point, but he was in control of the way that he reacted to his circumstances. And there are times in your life that you're not in control of your circumstances, but you are in control of your reaction to your circumstances. And the way that you, oh glory, the way that you react to your circumstances may determine the outcome. Where God makes the mess into a masterpiece. And I believe that he's good at doing that. So here Joseph is this slave, and he's being a steward in this guy's house, and God is blessing Potiphar for his sake. I'm a firm believer that whoever you work for, you ought to be a blessing to. And the favor of God should come on the company or the people that you work for because of you. And the way that you work and the way that you conduct yourself and the principles that you operate in that God should bless them. And, you know, as a result, you're blessed too. See, the blessing doesn't come on you for you to consume it all on yourself. You're blessed to be a blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed to be a blessing. Now turn to that other person you didn't want to talk to and say that. You're blessed to be a blessing. And he was a blessing. And he got blessed because of it. Now, Joseph was this good-looking guy. It says that he was well-built and handsome. And Potiphar's wife set her eyes on him and desired to have him. So she enticed him, or she tried to entice him, to sleep with her. Here again, what we're talking about now is the lust of the flesh. This is a big deal, guys. Lust of the flesh is a big deal. And it's not all sexual. Sometimes it's lust for stuff. It's lust for power. It's lust for influence. It's lust for the things of this world. And it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of other things. It's lust. And if you give in to those, that lust, you know what it'll do? It will control your life. And can I just tell you, being a guy and knowing a guy, here this young guy is, doesn't have a wife, young guy, somewhere between 17 and 20 probably. Young guy, older woman, tries to entice him. You think he's tempted? No, he's godly. I mean, I guarantee you he's tempted. Come on, get real. We're in the house of God. We don't need to lie about that kind of stuff because lust of the flesh is a real thing. And people deal with it. We all deal with it in some form and in some many forms. But notice, he's fixing to deal with this. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I love his heart. Was he tempted? Yes, he was tempted. He's a man. Men are tempted. God made women too good looking. Men are tempted. He was tempted. But you know what he did? He realized the thing that had been entrusted to him. It was a stewardship. It was not an ownership. He did not have any rights outside that stewardship. And to go outside that stewardship and partake of something that was not his would be wrong. It would be a sin against his master. But you know what? He says, if I do this, I'm not just sinning against Potiphar. I'm sinning against God. He maintained his integrity. He dealt with the lust of the flesh. And listen, guys, this is huge. This is huge. That's something that we got to learn to deal with, is the lust of the flesh. It corrupts a lot of things in life. She catches all of the servants gone one day. Just her and Joseph in the house. Here she comes. She's done this for a long time. She's tried to entice him for a long time. But finally, she catches the opportune moment. She catches the moment when it's just him and her. And she says, "Lie with me." And he says, "Nope." And she grabs him by the cloak. And he did the only thing that a tempted man should do. Run. That's not the manly thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. It's not the easy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. And he did the unmanly thing. He did the unmanly, manly thing. He ran. You know why? Because he did not want to defile his stewardship and he did not want to sin against God. I guess he's the first streaker. I don't know. But he left his cloak. It humiliated her. She cried rape. Husband comes home, is furious, throws him into prison. He remains in prison for at least 3 or 4 years. So here's something else that happened to him, that's happened to some of us. He suffered for doing the right thing. Have you ever suffered for doing the right thing? For showing integrity, for walking in integrity, for doing the right thing, for staying away from things, and you still suffer because of it. He could have become mad at God. I mean, there's times I said, "God, this is not fair. I did the right thing. They did the wrong thing. It looks like they come out on top. That's not fair." And you can develop an attitude that's not right. Now, let me just ask you a question. Time out. Who will that hurt? That'll hurt you. That'll hurt you. That'll affect your outcome. But he didn't. He didn't. He was put in prison. And it came to pass after these things. Oh, let's see. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of his prison. Listen, if he had been a complainer, if he had been bitter, this couldn't have happened. But he kept his heart right. He kept his heart right. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Again, because of Joseph's integrity, God is going to take this mess, and it is a mess. This was not his doing, but it's still a mess. And sometimes you'll find yourselves in a mess that wasn't your doing. You got to keep your heart right. You got to operate in the right manner so God can make the mess into a masterpiece. And he will. Later, guess what happens? Here's what happens. The butler and the baker fall into disfavor with the king and wind up in prison, and they're under Joseph's care. They have a dream. And Joseph interprets the dream. One was to be restored, the other one was to be executed. It came to pass. Joseph said to the butler, he says, "When you get out, please help me entreat the king on my behalf to get me out of here." And you know what? He didn't do it. Here Joseph does this act of kindness that goes unappreciated. Have you ever done anything for somebody and they didn't appreciate it? Are you out there? Is this first service or second service? You're out there. So have you ever done something nice for somebody and they didn't even appreciate it? What are you tempted to do? "Well, I'll see if I ever do anything for them again. Them ungrateful." Row, 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 row. We're good at row, 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 aren't we? But you know what? He didn't do that. He kept on doing what he was doing. He kept on doing what he was doing. A couple of years later, King has a dream. In fact, he has two dreams. One of the dreams was these seven fat cows, and they're down by the river, and these seven skinny cows come out and they eat the fat cows and they stay skinny. Wish I could eat a cow and stay skinny. Don't no. I eat a piece of fudge and get. No, anyway. So he calls in his musicians, his magicians, to get an interpretation, and they can't do it. And all of a sudden, the butler says, "Oh my, what have I done? When I was in prison 2 years ago, there was this guy. We had a dream, and he interpreted it, and it came right." Guess what's fixing to pay off? Guess what God is bringing back around? See, when we do the act of kindness, and it goes unappreciated eventually, whether it's through that person or somebody else, God brings that act back around, and it's a blessing to us. That's good. That's good. So he sends into prison, brings Joseph out. Joseph interprets the dream. He says there's going to be 7 years of plenty. A lot, a lot, a lot. Then there's going to be 7 lean years. He says, "King, here's what you need to do. You need to take 20% of the produce and you need to store it up for those 7 lean years. And you can sell that to the people in those lean years so that they won't starve. He says, you need to appoint a man over that. King says, that sounds like a good idea. You're the man. And all of a sudden, Joseph goes from this twice slave, prisoner, to the second in command in Egypt. Number two, he says, you're going to be under me. Nobody is going to be higher than you, than me, just me. You have authority. They even got a guard. I want you to think about this. A guard that everywhere he went, they announced, here's Joseph. He got the number two chariot. He didn't get our Air Force One, he got Air Force Two. And, you know, he was the second. He was blessed. Now, here's what he could have done. Remember Potiphar and his wife? Remember the misery that they dealt him because of a false accusation? He had power to go back and get retribution. But you know what? He didn't do it. Guess who vengeance belongs to? It is not thee. Vengeance is God's. He would have been wrong to go back and do that. Have you ever been tempted to get vengeance? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever taken revenge. I'm just going to, if you've been tempted. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He was promoted. Something happens during this time. Not only was this an Egyptian famine, it was throughout the whole region. And it affected Jacob and Joseph's 11 brothers. So guess what Papa does? He sends the sons to Egypt to buy stuff. This happens a couple of times over a couple of years. The moment comes. And they had to deal with Joseph, but they didn't recognize him. He spoke to them through an interpreter. He spoke a different language and spoke to him. But the time came for him to reveal who he was. So he clears the room and his brothers are there. And he says, I'm Joseph, your brother. You know what those boys do? They bow. That's the very dream that he had when he was 17 years old, that God was bringing full circle. God had taken all of that mess and he had worked his masterpiece. And what happened? Because of that, all of Joseph's family were brought into Egypt, given the land of Goshen, a land of plenty, and they dwelt there for many, many years, as long as Joseph lived. And Joseph was 110 years. Now, was that God's plan? No, that was only part of God's plan. What was God doing? He was preserving the lineage that the Messiah was coming through. Can you see the scope of what was happening with Joseph? From his childhood, God was working a plan all the way around, and Joseph cooperated with it. And the whole deal was not only so that Joseph could be blessed and Israel could be blessed, but so that the Messiah could come and we could all be blessed. It's a huge story. You know what? You may not be a Joseph, but you got a purpose. God's got a plan for your life, and God wants to work his plan. He wants to take your mess and turn it into a masterpiece. I got a video I want to show you.